Brass Ducks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Well, good morning, ma'am.
And Happy New Year to you.
You too. I haven't heard you in a while. Hope you have a safe and as enjoyable as possible 2021.
Yeah, no. Today is my anniversary.
Well, geez.
Wish my husband a near happy anniversary.
And he let you use the phone?
28 years together.
How many?
28 years.
28 years?
And 43 years together.
Wow.
And he spoiled me a lot. And, you know, he really treat me the best. Never cursed me, never beat me. And I love him for that. And every day I hope God can give us, you know.
You must have loved him a lot.
Yes. Pardon me?
You must have given him a lot of loving.
A lot of loving and a lot of headache. Anyway, listen. Mm-hmm. I've got a good friend. I cannot find her number for some reason. Mm-hmm. But if she hear me, please call me if you got my number. And Mr. Johnson, the last thing, must admire the Prime Minister, Mia Amor-Montley, and her team for coming out and speaking to the Bajan people and letting them know exactly what is going on. Because a lot of false rumors and things is going out. And when, you know, some of us, we see it, we tend to want to believe it. But when you hear from the professional that is there doing their job 24/7, we must appreciate them. Because what caused this pandemic, I don't want to put my mouth in it, but a lot of us know, and we just keep in quiet about that. And I'm telling you, I am praising her for the hard work she's doing. That lady's gone through so much from day one. And to try to save Barbados with Colonel Bostic and everyone that work on her team, and the nurses and the doctors, I want to praise them because they are working really hard. That just those at the nurses and the doctors are doing their best to keep Barbados safe. And I just hope that we can get over this hurdle and go back to where we were. And Mr. Johnson, thank you for being a friend and try to put me straight at all times.
I thank you, my darling. It is always a pleasure to hear that persons have shared their lives, their ups, their downs, have had their differences, but have been able to overcome them and continue to do whatever you're doing. And, you know, may you enjoy the company of your husband and he enjoy your company for as long as you're permitted to be together on the face of the planet. And I'm sure there are times that you may, you know, disagree. I know you have a very strident voice, but I know it comes from passion and heart. People don't understand that a lot of times, but I understand that. Congratulations to you both. Lots of happiness and more love. Brass Ducks, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dennis.
Hey, I'm all right. I'm all right.
I want to talk about the Westmoreland Junction and your legs first. I have heard people saying that the lights is causing the backup in traffic.
The what? The lights?
The lights. Mm-hmm. That have been pierced at.
The junction that you keep talking about, yeah.
That is not so. There are stretches of that highway between roundabout and roundabout. There are no lights. And I have more backup and even at the light. What I have not been hearing, and I was hoping that someone would say, I give them the critics time enough to come and say, is that people can now cross that highway at that junction in safety. The old man and the old woman can now press a button to get the traffic to stop. The little school child can also do the same thing. The person that's exiting from Westmoreland and St. Silas can now have a safety zone that they can cross the road. No system is perfect. None. None. I'm not saying that roundabout cannot work, There's nothing wrong with the roads, you know.
So roundabouts to me, roundabouts to me would be dangerous at that spot for people to cross. It's a wide junction. It's one of the widest parts of the Ronamap Highway, and there are just too many field roads and corners. I would not support a roundabout for that area, sir. The only thing I think they would have to regulate over time is what type of system to use at the traffic lights, whether to use it as traffic activated. In other words, when there's a car stopped at the junction, it stops or starts the light, or when somebody presses it, but that will come over time.
Now, man is just cause problems, you know. Where there's too greed, where there's too lack of patience. Let's say, for instance, you are in a situation, a John Boston situation, you are right. So I want to break in the law. There's some of us who know who, because they are right, is going to challenge that person. And while doing so, you're going to cause an accident. The sensible thing to do is let the person go on. That's the sensible thing.
So it's about being right.
Just like every year, every beginning of a new year, I ask for one thing, you know. No murders, no traffic deaths. And it can happen. If only people can learn to walk away.
God.
Just walk away rather than do things, and then you go out to court now with a lawyer, you go out to your mind, you go out do this, you go out do that. You see, this is man is his own greatest enemy. And for some reason, we can't seem to see it. That's all I want.
Fair enough, sir. I gotta tell you though, We're weak. We have flaws in our system. The problem is we don't see what we have as being flaws. We see it in everybody else. I listen to comments and I read comments made here from time to time sent to us. And people say things like, everybody trying to make a dollar. Right? So don't squeeze this person. Don't tell that person they're doing something wrong. Everybody trying to make a dollar. Well, Gordon Butch Stewart is deceased. You know how much dollars he have? You know what his worth is?
Yeah.
He's deceased.
I know.
Michael Jackson, deceased. You know how much he had? So making a dollar sometimes it means that you got, what, life eternal, that you live forever. You know, you can't guarantee nothing, not even your health. So we fussy about our cars, we fussy about our place in the line, we fussy about, but we ain't fussy enough about our life. And that, sir, is a failing. It is unfortunate, but that's how we are. We got flaws.
And that's what I Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Christmas spirit, where everybody was loving and giving and looking up for the neighbor. I want to see it happening this month, the next month, right going to Christmas again. That's one of the reasons I don't celebrate Christmas, you know. Because of the falseness in it. Those, if you know that you have a neighbor, nobody is going to suffer. If you have someone in your area, or even if they're not in your area, you pass through to someone in need and you can help them. Help them now. Help them and don't throw it back at them if that person has to criticize you about anything. My last thing now about this pandemic is public transportation and the crowds that I see on transport board buses, especially with school children. We close the IC on PSV. We cannot control any that pandemic if we are allowing these things to happen. We're exposing people to danger. This is where we have to make the sacrifice. As you just talk about the dollar. If we don't do something about that, it is not. When we started this thing, it was working, you know. It was working.
When we started this thing?
Huh?
When we started which thing?
This where we put the measures in place.
Sir, again, we had zero people in isolation at one point. Zero. We were down to naught. Zero. Okay? Again, we release ourselves. We don't stay pent up for too long. Sir, you were young once, right? There are times when we feel we're indestructible. I was young once. I didn't care about walking through drain and kicking ball can, and because you feel indestructible. As we get older, we start to, figure out life. Life get the better of us, and then we start being frightened of everything. Sir, walk the good walk. Stay on the right side. Converse with the people you meet and try as much as possible to aggravate as few as possible. And that Christmas spirit you talk about may start spread. I think at Christmas time, it's just we just have copious amounts of alcohol in the system. So we just be able to handle the ignorance we come across a little better. All the best for you in 2021, my buddy, and take care. I just received this from Stetson. Thank you, news team, updating us as we go along. COVID-19 update, new positive cases. There were 37 new positive COVID-19 cases on Sunday out of 1,436 tests conducted by the Best Dos Santos Public Health Laboratory. They comprise both visitors and local, consisting 11 men, 26 women. No one was released from isolation. There are now 312 persons in isolation. Barbados has recorded 643 confirmed cases, 272 females, 371 males to date. 324 people have recovered from the illness, and 74,263 tests have been done since February of 2020. That's the statistic put out by the COVID-19 unit, and updating it for you. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Brother Johnson.
It is.
How are you?
I am okay, sir, and you?
I must say a prosperous and a happy new year to you.
Okay.
And Mr. Johnson, the rover that you want.
No, that man was giving me.
But listen to me. I would like to change your mom's mind, and he handed it to me.
Oh, well, all right. If I get it, I hand it to you.
You hand it to me.
Yeah, my Suzuki right. Working well.
Right, because I'd like to drive one of them to a BMW before I die.
My Suzuki working very well, sir. It can afford me, and I can afford it.
Yeah, but you don't mind driving this style too, there's nothing wrong driving this style.
Boss man, if your name is Dennis Johnson, right?
Yes.
And you drive down the road with a BMW convertible, you know what people will say? Think about it for a minute and then let it go. It's not that I got money. It's the other things are how I get it. Good. Go ahead.
Right.
Tell me, sir.
Yeah, but Mr. Johnson, there's some things. The two things bothering me. First of all, let me say the Prime Minister doing a great job. But I will say this to her. If the people are willing to listen,
they will not.
Stop being so nice. Lock down the place. Lock it down. Let it suffer. Lock it down. Let it feel some burning. Okay? Good. Now let me get straight to things.
No, before you say that, let me say this to you, right?
Yes.
They're not going to feel the burning, because I've seen messages on WhatsApp that says, shut the country down, take the IMF money that we have there in reserve and give it to the people so they could buy things.
Then there's a setback. That's a setback.
So, but that's how people think.
Yes.
They don't understand that to buy things, things got to get paid for by somebody.
Yes. Right?
So it got to come from somewhere. And if you lock down the borders, things ain't going to come in. So you ain't going to get things to buy.
Yeah.
And the barrel ain't going to get sent, and you ain't going to get what you want.
The people who will be creating that. That's what I'm saying, that if they don't want to adhere.
But we can suffer.
We can suffer.
We feel the money will save us, but you can suffer.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Now, there we go.
The two things that worry me, Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I would like the Prime Minister to put down her feet on anyone. First, let me say, tourism is vital. Yes, tourism is vital.
Yeah.
But you is not to come in my country and dictate and disrespect my laws about here. You are not. No, I'm not going to go to your country and do the same. I would like the Prime Minister to put down some military rules. If you come into this country and you're quarantined and you're caught out of bounds before that quarantine is expired, there won't be no fine. There is prison term and a high prison term. Because Mr. Johnson, you could imagine, if you walk out of quarantine, you don't know your stats. And you could imagine, if, let's say you're positive, for example, you walk out of quarantine, you go into bars, you go into nightclubs, you go in the city, you go on buses, and et cetera, et cetera. Do you know what you can do with this little small nation?
Yes, sir. But here, I know, I hear the cry. I've also seen the comments about people saying, lock this person up and lock that person up. We have to pay to keep the people in prison. If the person is infected, as we have infection in prison now, they have to have special care. There's more money being spent. We ain't have that kind of money to pay to lock up people who break our laws. That's why we keep fighting this battle about how much money we spend to keep people in Dodds, for long periods, when they're on remand, when they're serving sentences. We have to take care of them. And we're spending tremendous sums of money on our prisons. So if you have someone who is capable of paying you £30,000, let them pay you £30,000. It can help us take care of the old lady who need, you know, the blood pressure medication and who need the CAT scan machine. Because locking them up, we got to take care of them.
But Mr. Johnson,
we got to feed them and give them medication.
What are we going to do then to eliminate this type of behavior? Because if something ain't happening, you're gonna get some of these sad visitors vulnerable to do this type of thing.
Yeah, I hear you, right? But I am telling you that locking them up can cost us more. I ain't telling you don't do them nothing, you know. I ain't telling them smile at them. Look, you know what's curious about this? How we look at problems and how we address it, sir. You try to walk into a hotel when you're not a guest in Barbados, a high-end hotel in Barbados. I challenge you. Put on some short pants, put on a vest, put on a cap back to front, put on some plastic slippers. Try to walk into a top-end hotel in Barbados like that and tell me what happens. Security can stop you from going in. But security can't stop guests at the hotel from coming out. So what do you have security for? To keep me out, but not to keep them in? So that making sense to you? What I just tell you makes sense to you? I challenge you. Let me do it tomorrow. John, you and I, we're going to put on some short pants, a vest, put on a cap back to front, right?
Yeah.
And walk. Try to walk into a high-end hotel in Barbados and tell me what can happen. I'm telling you, security can hold us and put us out. They ain't gonna tell me about my handling. They ain't gonna tell me, but they can't hold me. They ain't gonna tell me I'm not a police officer. We not gonna get in, but we can't stop people inside from coming out.
I was going to
something
say something
wrong with that.
I was going to say something. Have we really gonna answer that?
We can get locked up. Okay, no problem.
Discrimination,
no, sir, it's not discriminating. No, hold on. And this is why I tell people all the time, we discriminate every day, right? You might decide to use toughy bags, I might decide to use fluffy bags. So that is discriminating taste. You might like red women, I like my black one. That's discriminating taste. So we discriminate every day. You talking about racial profiling, which is something else again, right? Don't mix up the terms. But I'm telling you that security officers in Barbados stop non-guests from coming onto properties all across Barbados. But we're saying that they can't stop visitors from coming out. And I think there's something strange about that type of statement. It's not about profiling, because there's some guests that are black that say they came to Barbados and get ragged up. And ASAP Rocky looked more like John than he looked like Simon Cowell. And he was a visitor to Barbados too. Right?
All right.
So
my second point here, before I go, I'm a little angry with Mr. Bostick.
Because?
I'll tell you why. And I think my decision will help curve this worthlessness of walking out of quarantine and so on. Because I call it high-class worthlessness.
It's worthlessness.
And I say that before we remark.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Now, Mr. Bostick, on our national television, I sit back and I heard him say, quarantine persons will be attached to our Paragon base, or they will be held at the Harrison's Point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you went on further to say, this is where you got the problem here. He went on to further say, or the guests could stay at a hotel and will have to pay a fee. Now, Mr. Johnson, we know the hoteliers are looking for money. We know they have to keep their business running and so on. I don't got a problem with that. The problem I got with Mr. Bostick is, how could you put a quarantine person at a hotel and don't expect there could be a little flaw? I'm saying to you, Mr. Johnson, that a quarantine person should be at the base, at both bases. Paragon base is where they're army personnel. Or if you're going to keep guests, if they requested they want to be at a hotel, there have to be stipulations. They have to be a guarded police, or they have to be a guarded soldier. That's my way about it.
Well, sir, here's the challenge. The people who opt to stay at hotels are not only visitors to Barbados. The Sun on Saturday last week, there was a story in the Sun on Saturday, somewhere on page 3 or 4, that said there were reports coming out of hotels in Barbados from persons working at the hotels, unnamed hotels, where guests wearing red armbands that meant they were supposed to be in quarantine were mingling on the beach, in the restaurants, generally moving around the property, and that they were instructed that they were supposed to serve them because they're guests at the hotel. On the back page of that same Sun on Saturday, it said hotels in Barbados were recording record occupancies and were very happy because Barbadians in their numbers were using staycations. No, if you have Barbadians in their numbers using, again, unnamed hotels for staycations, and those hotels, unnamed, are the same ones where guests are walking around with red armbands, what you have is mingling of locals with visitors to Barbados. There were people whose children were coming home for the Christmas vacation. Some of them sent us messages saying that they heard things about Paragon and they heard things about St. Lucie and they didn't want their children to be subjected to that. So which were the hotels that were available? Which ones had breakfast? Which ones were the cheapest? There was a whole price range for hotels from 80-something US all the way up. Some with breakfast, some without breakfast, some providing transport for you to be tested, others not. There were various guidelines on the prices. That it was not managed properly is a fact. that there was cross-contamination is a fact. You can't rewind the clock. What you have to do is make sure that what happens from here on in, you shut the breaches down. Right? No. There are those who say shut the borders, get rid of everything that's in here, and then, you know, decide how you go from there. That's one option. There are those who say there are plenty of people walking about and nobody know who they are. What are we going to do, round them up? I suggested to someone who told me that we find all those who don't have anything and, you know, put them in Port St. Charles. We can't put them there. They got people there who they claim are infected. Port Ferdinand, or a new hotel somewhere that ain't open yet. And let the rest walk about until we get rid of it. Sir, I will repeat what I said at the start. We have to be careful. We have to be sensible. And we can't assume that we could just look at people and determine that they did or they didn't. And we can't assume that, you know, a visitor means a white person. You know, so we keep pointing fingers until we find the right one to point the finger at. 4341-790, the Tuesday edition of Don't Interbrass Tax. Let me share this piece with you, perhaps for a chuckle. It's written by Kevin Mayer. It's in the Times. He says, God, I wish I were Simon Cowell. Not because of his estimated £390 million personal fortune, his still tenaciously high waistbands, silly hair and ability to turn a series of identikit ultra-bland TV talent shows into widely profitable pablum for the masses. No, I wish I were Simon Cowell because he's dealt with the increasingly rampant pandemic's winter wave by jetting off to the beautiful, sun-drenched Caribbean idol of Barbados. This is especially difficult for me as someone who spent two blissful weeks in Barbados in the autumn of 2018. I was there as a parent to support my son's cricket tour and wasn't quite prepared for the utterly transformative impact of morning swims, fresh fish lunches, afternoon swims, snoozing in the shade, evening cocktails, and sunset swims. It is now officially my happy place, the private zone to which I retreat during even the most minor interpersonal crisis. When one is forced to contemplate the question, where would I rather be right now? Dishwasher blocked again? Barbados. Wi-Fi down again? Barbados. Bloke in the Sainsbury queue refusing to wear a mask? Barbados. Car fails the MOT? Barbados. Forget to charge my? Barbados. Accidentally break? Barbados. Argument with the? Barbados, Barbados, Barbados. I had root canal done recently. I don't recommend it. And although my body was firmly in the dentist's chair, my soul was actually sprawled back under a cluster of palm trees on the wonderfully secluded Gibbs Beach, which is where, on day three, my children helped a newly hatched nest of turtles into the sea, and from where I am told, it is rumored, you can easily reach Mr. Cowell's holiday villa. Now, as the Barbados on the other side, all right? I'm just telling you so that you know. That's the Barbados on the other side. That's viewed from the lens of someone, you know, who don't want to go to Dubai. Because apparently you got money to go there too. Just saying. So, you know, anyway. That's why they come. And that's why they don't want to sit in the room and look at scantily clad natives having fun on a bus crawl.